Yeah.
Okay. So back to, let's see. So we just covered rituals and ceremonies. What's your next question?
How did the people relate to each other?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I'm going to talk about Islamic Center in Johnson County only right now. Okay. Because depending on the mosque in America, there's actually different relationships that you can find within each mosque. So Islamic Center of Johnson County was created, I would say, by a couple people that were already settled in Kansas. So it was more of a resource for them and to engage people that may not have a place to go to pray. So the mosque was built for the reason to provide resources to the people in Olin Park, Olathe, and Lee's Summit. So that's the short answer, where we can see more people than using the those resources, and there's no relationship to each other. That is the big thing here. So this mosque, I wouldn't say there's any relationship of these people except for the fact that they're maybe first, second, or third generation Muslims, because they're all new. This is a new developing area, and they're coming here for mostly economic reasons. But then when they see, hey, there's a mosque right there, they're going to move closer to it. So they're coming to Overland Park, Olathe, Lee Summit, for economic reasons, to find a new life, because it is a developing region. And then moving closer to the mosque within that vicinity. Next location I would talk about as far as how do the people relate to each other would be the Islamic Society of Greater Kansas City. I would say that, well, I can't talk to about them much because I'm not, I would say I don't have the credentials to. But there's a lot of mosques in downtown that people are related to each other if you look at their ancestry, just because they might be refugees, so refugee-built mosques. Then also people that migrated here at a certain time of history where maybe persecution was a lot bigger in the home countries. So you see a lot of those mosques pop up, and they're providing the same resources. They're all inclusive to everybody. But you would see that there's people settled in a certain area already, and then the mosques built around them. What's your next question?
How did members of the religious group interact with other members of the general public?
So, I would say before the time of internet and social media, there wasn't as much interaction, but there was interaction to a certain degree, because we can see that we had people from our mosques connecting with local government, participating in events, being active within the local community, because again, we're going to live here for decades from now, so we want to build roots here, and we don't want to have a problem with those around us. So I would say that early on we can see that there is a lot of communication with local government, talking with them, and just in general, letting them know that this is a safe place. But now, more recently, we can say after, I would say, Trump got elected, the outreach and the amount of people just showing up to the mosque increased tremendously of non-Muslim groups, just to learn about Islam. We're not trying to convert them. They're just interested in hearing about what Islam is, because it's not something that you can learn in one day, and I can say for sure that I haven't learned Islam to its fullest extent, like not even a percent of it. And we can see that the group members in the Muslim community are reaching out to other groups too. So it's not like it's only people coming to us. We're also going to them and creating an environment of, hey, we are people of faith, and we should encourage faith in general. What's your next question?
Before we move on to the next question, I was going to ask you that there's a church next to the Johnson County mosque. Do they, like, interact at all?
So, the when the mosque was first made into a... the house was made into a mosque, the church was always there. And the relationship had been very interesting because when it came to, like, the boards of both the church and mosques, they were perfectly fluent. Everybody knew what was going on. They're like friends, best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting part came when the construction was happening at the mosque. Members of the church, it was interesting because they started to worry and stuff a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, the church leaders invited us to come talk to them. And we had board members go over there and let them know, hey, we're not like a threat or anything like that. It didn't hinder like our relationship with the boards, mm-hmm. between the boards. It would just be like more of figuring out a middle spot of, hey, what exactly is going on, mm-hmm. with neighbors. So I would say that's one thing that the Islamic Center of Johnson County a little bit lacked on,
mm-hmm.
but I think we're at a point where outreach in the community is very fluent and we're open to bringing people in from other faiths and going out and talking about our own faith. More recently, we had the vigil for New Zealand, and it was more of like a 12-hour event preparation because about 5 to 7 hours before the event was scheduled to happen, I got a message to actually advertise it, which was interesting because we had Representative Sharice Davis showing up, we had leaders from other people, groups of faith also showing up, and basically condemning the violence and condemning what had happened. And this was all happening at the mosque. And it was a very fast turning point, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Did food figure into your religious life?
I mean, food plays a big role more during the month of fasting, Ramadan. Yeah. But in general, from day to day, food hasn't actually been a significant part of religious life. And I can say that other mosques have had potlucks. They do potlucks about once a month and members come together and have a meal, have a lecture, enjoy a time of communication. And I feel like that's becoming more of a thing now in current day Muslim communities, where we can see that the Pakistani group of people are having a potluck and then having their discussions. The Indian group is having their potluck and having their discussion. So, like, it's more of creating that culture within a community that is very diverse.
Was volunteer labor used in any part of the life?
Yes, everything has been volunteer based, with the exception of hiring the imams. Also, they teach the students the mm-hmm. Quran.
So that wasn't volunteer.
Yeah, that's a paid position.
That's a paid position
through donations to the mosque.
What about the building of the new mosque?
I mean, obviously that came through donations, and maintenance of the building, of the new building, is paid through a private contractor, mm-hmm. where they come in every day or so to clean the mosque up. But when it was a small building, there was no payment for maintenance, mm-hmm. unless it was like a toilet fixture or stuff like that.
What were the economic arrangement of the group? How was money raised? Who made the spending
decision? So economic arrangements, donations. We would have our once a year, yearly donation, like fundraiser night, I would say, happen in Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
How was decision for spending made?
We have a treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, like, he probably has, like, a way to make decisions. And then everything is, like, you could say that every year there's a release of financial statements during the year where they have a meeting and ask the community to come and they talk about their finances. Especially since the new building has been built.
Who owned the group property?
So it's considered an LLC loan. I don't know what LLC means, but that's how it is owned. So it was bought out by one person and then donated as a property to make an LLC. And a board owns basically the building as a business.
Okay. What kinds of issues involving personal interactions were present?
I wouldn't say there was significant personal interactions, considering there's not much. I would say there's not much discussion happening. Mm-hmm. More than it's just a religious practices happening at the mosque.
Yeah.
And Q&As.
Okay. How was the group governed?
Through a board.
Okay. Describe the leadership.
One secretary, one treasurer, one chair. And then there's board members.
Okay. Did the group own any vehicle? Such as school bus or van?
The mosque does not actually own a school bus or van, but there are other mosques that I know of that own buses.
Were the rules or agreement regarding dress or other matters of style? Was there like any rules for how to dress up?
So regarding dress and matters of style, it is addressed in the religion, but the building, mosques, Islamic Center of Johnson County, I can say for sure, like, doesn't explicitly come out and say what those are. So the mosque just says, hey, we practice the principles set in the Quran and Hadith, basic teachings of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. But there's no actual, like, policing of rules.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone didn't want to wear a scarf, there wouldn't be a board member coming up to them and telling them, hey, you're not wearing a scarf.
Mm-hmm.
You might have someone else that's just attending the mosque letting come up to you and acknowledge, hey, this is a practice of Islam, and it's recommended to do that. But there's no official person or dress code within this business model. Because we have people show up that are non-Muslim and we give them tours and stuff. And we always recommend people to be considerate of other Muslims. And it's a good time for, I guess, visitors to feel how it is to be wearing a hijab.
Mm-hmm.
So, not required.
Not required. All right. What kinds of relationship did the group have with other local... I asked you this question already. Like, I asked you about the church.
Yeah, so this...
Is there any different...
So, read the rest of the question. It also talks about zoning, traffic, parking situation.
The one... Yeah.
Yeah. So, read after
that. What were the relationships with the surrounding culture like? Were there conflicts over zoning?
Yeah, and then keep reading.
Traffic, parking situations, or other such things...
Yes, so we had a ton of traffic problems. Surprisingly, before the big mosque was built at Islamic Center of Johnson County, and after the Islamic Center of Johnson County's new building was built.
Mm-hmm.
Since we were holding our big prayers there now, every year, our yearly large holiday prayer called Eid,
mm-hmm.
We saw an influx of people attending because... Beforehand, we would go to like the Owen Park Convention Center or something like that to do our prayers, but it just happens that we had space to do our own prayers, which is a lot cheaper for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have on-duty and off-duty officers that are paid to come help us mm-hmm. during this time. It is very helpful to have them there because basically we're having in one day about 4,000 people basically going through our doors and having two or three sets of prayers in about 4-hour time span.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have one group come in, which was totally fine with parking, but getting that group out fast so the next group can come in and park. So we'd use officers then. And then finally, if we had a third prayer, which I can see us having here in the near future, to accommodate the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be using the church parking lot too, actually. So this is where that connection between mosque and church that's really, right next to each other
mm-hmm.
comes into play. But yeah, and we'd have a ton of volunteers on the ground on that day too, wearing vests, and a day of happiness.
Okay. What were the best and the worst things you remember about your experience?
I would say the best experiences I had were...
eight prayers. Most of the people said eight prayers are the best experience.
I would say organizing big events. So
mm-hmm.
that'd be Eid parties, like we do Eid fairs.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is basically after Eid, sometime in the weeks, weekends after, we do a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And organizing that is probably one of those highlight things that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the number one thing I've organized so far at that mosque would be planting trees, which was a $14,000 project that I did. And it was done in a 3-week span, actually. So all the fundraising and stuff
that.
And then we had over 100 people come in 2 separate days to help plant these trees that were 200 pounds each.
Yeah.
And that was more of my first big project, I would say, because all the pressure was put on me to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure out where to get the funds, and all the funds came from the community. We did an online GoFundMe type thing, but it's a little bit cheaper platform. And it was all done so fast, and it was all done by me too. So that was my first, I'd say, rising of leadership
mm-hmm.
In a small amount of time.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell us?
No.
Do you have any documents from your experience that you would like to share? Diaries or letters or news clippings?
I don't have anything on me, but you guys can ask. And I could see what I can find.
Alright. Do you know other people we should interview?
They don't live in... Well, I would say... I just talked about Muslim community.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Ghazali might be a good person.
Dr. Ghazali.
And she probably knows this instructor already.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.